Hello.
Hi, Holly.
Hey.
Welcome to the Lift Oneself podcast. Holly, I'm so thankful you're here with me.
Thank you for having me too, Natalie.
Let's take a breath together. I'll ask you to close your eyes and begin breathing in and out through your nose. And just keep your attention on your breath and watch it go in and out through your nose. Just keep watching your breath while letting your body release whatever feelings, sensations. And I'm going to ask you to bring your awareness to the bottom of your belly. And I'm going to ask you to create an intention you want to bring forth in this podcast. And let it germinate and formulate at the bottom of your belly. And when you have it, release it. And let it rise up into your nervous system, passing your stomach, your heart, up your throat, and into your mind. And let it blossom in your mind while still being fully attached at the bottom with roots in your belly. Still staying with your breath, letting that intention blossom some more. And allowing your heart to open up. Still staying with your breath. Letting the body relax and the heart to open up some more. And allowing that intention to be in all of your cells, into your vibration, into your energy, into your voice. And staying with your breath. When you're ready, I'll ask you to gently open your eyes.
That's beautiful.
How's your heart doing?
Now I'm so expanded. How's yours?
It's wonderful. It's open. It's playful, delightful. It's very relaxed.
Well, it's good to play. Yes.
Can you let the listeners know who Holly is?
I'm Holly Doyle, and I'm in Spain, and I've traveled much of the world, and I am just enjoying playing with alchemy with my coaching. That I've been a coach for about 5 years now, lifestyle coaching as well as swimming teaching all my life. And I noticed when I was doing my swimming teaching that it'd be really nice to incorporate life coaching in with swimming teaching. But now I am more direct into alchemy with clients equally all over the world, online and in person. Yep.
Can you let the listeners know what alchemy means?
So, yeah, it's about your current reality and making it in sync and synchronistic with where you're wanting to go. So it's looking at your hopes and dreams and desires and looking at it not so much from an ego point of view, but more from the truth of your heart and heading in that direction using all of these lovely techniques, which are alchemical techniques. So it's turning your lead to gold. So it's looking at all of your shadow, your dark side and your dysfunctions and bringing them to the light. Because I think from personal experience, many people don't want to look at their stuff, or they think if they don't look at it, it's not going to impact their creations. It's better not to look at it. So that was me. And I have since realized that bringing it all to light is so good, because knowing myself is the key to the kingdom. So that's something that the Sufis say. And it's so true, because it actually lights up your insides. It's a bit like the iceberg, so that the peak of the iceberg you can see, that's what we're aware of, and then underneath there's all of that subconscious that we get glimpses of in our patterns and our beliefs and the things that we say. When we are looking at where we are, say, on personality scale or the way we behave, then when the light shone on those areas, it's obviously helping us to integrate what's below the surface so that we're more aware of how to just see those things and move beyond those things and be in our higher self, be in our greatness.
And you mentioned that, you know, you had to discover your shadow parts. Is there something that occurred in your life that had you stumble into this?
Yeah. So in my life, I've always been interested in how I can make things even better. And I've always been an observer of others. And I've gone, how are they so relaxed in this stressful situation? And how are they so rich when I'm not able to afford these things? And you know, how are their parents so calm? How are their parents so wild and crazy? And, you know, I've always had an interest in other people's families and people watching and psychology. So yeah, and I was always so good at creating, like, amazing things have happened in my life. Lots of, like I said already, travel and swimming instruction, but it's taken me to places where the things I really love have come to me quite easily synchronistically. So the synchronicities in life have made me really taken me by awe and shocked me. For example, so when I was in Australia, I was teaching swimming there, and one day, because they found me clients, and every day I was teaching babies to swim, so they said, tomorrow you're going to be teaching Will Smith's kids to swim. It's like, and I didn't believe them, because these guys are always having a laugh with me, because the Australians are so just fun and sarcastic as well. So they would love to pull my leg. And they said, no, seriously, look at the register. And I was like, oh my gosh, right, okay. And they said, don't tell any of your backpacker friends, because they don't want the paparazzi here and all of that. And I was like, oh my gosh, right, okay. So yeah, so that was an amazing experience. And I had 3 months teaching his children while he was in Sydney. He was doing some premiere of Ali, and his wife was doing some filming for Matrix. And that was like, oh my gosh, Will Smith was someone I just absolutely idolized when I was younger. I just be so mesmerized that there was this amazing person in the world that just made the world brighter. Mm-hmm. And he was on my wall as like this leader that I just used to love and be like, I just want to, you know, embody his charisma and characteristics. Anyway, so then I was thinking, gosh, how has this occurred? Well, it's obvious. I've been looking at his poster every day and imagining, you know, fun with Will, and then he arrived, and I was like, right, so there's something in that. And when I had my youngest boy in 2012, it's the Olympics was on in the UK in London, and I got to go to the Olympics, so I was fascinated by the Olympics at the time, and I was sat watching. It was like breakfast TV, and the exciting part was they had some of the athletes from the Olympics. And, oh, such a great question came on. And she said, how on earth did you prepare to win the gold? And she said, well, I used the law of attraction. I got this book out called Ordering from the Cosmic Kitchen. And I visualized and thought about myself and felt myself going for the gold and running and always like being the first through the ribbon and receiving the gold. And I just, what on earth? Like, I've never heard anyone talk like this before. So I got really excited about that. And that's when I was looking at The Secret at that point. I think I might have even looked at that slightly before, but I was just mesmerized that this actual person had put this into practice. Yeah, so I realized that is quite a high disciplined person. So it must be something in that style to be so disciplined. So I started down the law of attraction route, and I realized that when I was doing the things that it said to do in The Secret, that it felt quite needy and grabby, and I could feel the tension that I wasn't there and I wanted to be somewhere else. And it was kind of exaggerating the problem and making my problems worse. And even in my personality, when I wanted to be kinder to my kids, because I was focused on sometimes not being such a great mom, I'd be so upset about that. And I know better than this. And it would make the problem worse. And I was like, this law of attraction, there's more to it than this. So that's when I started to look into alchemy and other ways of creating through all sorts of things like psychology and NLP. But the NLP stuff, it felt a bit like manipulative, a little bit to me. So the way I'd learned it, it felt like it was a bit like wrong to use it for sales, for example. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but lots of things have come into play synchronistically. I've met the right people. When I've asked for great people to come into my life, it's come. And I've learned lots from different types of people where I am here in Spain, because this is such an international place where I live. So there's a great big Persian community here. Mm-hmm. And I've got to learn about Baha'is. I've got to learn about, there's also Indians where I live, and we're meditating and learning about the Bhagavad Gita. And yeah, so there's a real mix of people, and we're all open to learning bits of this and bits of that, and like buffet style, which has really helped me see that there's a lot of crossover. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's really nice to have such a diverse variety of friends, so that you've always got someone around with a new perspective, because that's also what I need, to have variety around me, so that I'm still so interested. Like, because, for example, I was very much into Jesus, but not the Bible. So I couldn't go very far with that. But I was always like, oh, Jesus sounds cool, dude. And I'd call in Jesus and I'd be doing some healings and things like that. And that was fun. But the Bible, oh, wasn't so keen on it. I mean, that could change. I'm open to change. But it's nice to see that religion doesn't have to be so tight. For example, the Baha'is have a lot of interfaith groups where lots of people can bring their different styles in, but you're learning about, well, they believe it's the latest manifestation, for example, of Abdul Baha. So, yeah, it's interesting to hear what they talk about, but I'm not really religious, but I like to hear about virtues and the amazing miracles that have happened.
I want to ask you, because I see that you went through the path of law of attraction, yet you saw that certain parts weren't really working with you. I want to ask you what your thoughts are on this toxic positivity.
Good question. Yeah. So I used to have weekly gatherings for Law of Attraction where people would come and talk about mostly Abraham Hicks, which I loved. And I always knew it was entry level because that's where I've come from. And we used to do like challenges to think about money and pretend we're spending a certain amount of money. So we're upping it by 1,000 a day, and what would we spend it on, which started off quite nice and playful. But then it was like kind of, I think when things get not enjoyable and fun, then you just got to use your instincts in that. Is this actually going to work for me, or is it harming what I would like? Same with everything, I think. If we're wanting a boyfriend and we're just, you know, gung-ho, I want a boyfriend, it's not really attractive, is it? As if we were sitting back and going, it will happen, and I believe it's going to happen when the time is right, type of thing. So I also have worked with Reiki. So I was also aware of energies and how we can repel things. And when we are so positive, in a way that's not sincere, so we're just masking and pretending that everything's okay and this is going to work out, but you're not looking at it so realistically that you haven't really got. What I know is we have to be really realistic where we're coming from and true, and see what we're missing in our life and what I do know is it's a lot to do with our dysfunctions and patterns and beliefs. So once we're sure about those things, we can proceed in an honest way, which has this magnetic effect, which allows things to come to us. It creates space and it's peeling back some of the layers. So when we're not looking at our dysfunctions, we're pretending they're not there and pretending to be positive and thinking the best. It's just keeping all of the toxic stuff down, that the stuff that we haven't looked at and unpacked and just seen and loved. And that, yeah, that just has the effect of actually exasperating those problems and creating more of what we don't want because we haven't unpacked it yet. Because everything's like a lesson. Until a lesson's been learned, it's just going to stay there.
I feel that what I'm hearing sometimes with people's positivity is a denial of emotions. And yeah. When there's heavy or big explosive emotions, we're kind of taught that not to feel them and just cover them with positivity and everything will be fine, which in actuality, you're storing them. So they become the undercurrent of actually guiding your energy, your ship. Although you logically may want to talk positively and I want to do this, those undercurrents of stored dense emotions are actually what are attracting and bringing you into places, because there are energies that need to be released and let go. So the life lessons are appearing to you so that you can release these things that you're storing and you're holding on to. However, I see where there's a big population where they're using positivity and really using it as a method of denial. And that is really damaging to people in the long term, because we're human bodies that feel before we think. And, you know, we get signals in and we're human. And I think a lot of times people are trying to deny our humanity, as if positivity is a strength of always being happy and joyful, where, you know, you're living in a very traumatized world at times. And that's going to require you to use your toolkit of emotions to express whatever there is and feel it. Not taking action, not projecting. It's actually feeling your own emotions. And I think there's a big part of our population that do not have that intelligence developed yet, because they haven't been afforded a space to do that.
Yeah, it's totally a misunderstanding, I think, because, for example, again, Abraham Hicks shows that vibration scale and the emotions. And if we're down here, we're not in a high vibe disc. And that sets up anxiety and wanting to be on the high vibe disc. So doing crazy things all the time, like dancing, just get our vibes up. And, you know, we can't deal with just normal emotions and living our life from in a healthy, balanced place. It doesn't have to be for what I'm creating. We don't have to be positive. So I'll explain a little bit more. So, for example, our identity is one way of living. So looking at our identity and our emotions and our thoughts, all of that is within our identity. Because, say, for example, there's different types of things like perfectionism, I'm not enough, overachiever, devil's advocate, these type of traits that we might have all of these traits, but we do have one particular type that can lead into two more types. But anyway, so these types, once we're aware of our type, we can notice when we're about to go into our patterns. But patterns have like a long list of steps. So you can, like, once you're aware of your steps that lead you into that pattern, you can just stop before you're just about to go down the rabbit hole. Because that rabbit hole is just your identity of what you know in the past. It's just going to give you more of that same thing in the future. So in that rabbit hole, if we did go into it and get triggered into our old patterns, we're going, and then we're trying to fix that, we'll just be bing-bonging inside of our identity and get more of the same. what I am doing is looking at that, being so aware of our dysfunctions that we can see that's so true, that it gives us a structure to operate in our lives, that we can see that. And then we can choose our natural, effervescent, full of life, everything else that hasn't been really tapped into, where all of our imagination, our creativity is. You're plugged into that which you're born with, but we have decided that this little identity is us. So we can actually come out of there, out of the identity, and it's a practice so that we can be in our flow and create and have this amazing life where we are plentiful and we have the things that we want on tap. You know, we have access, we've forgotten we're abundant, we've forgotten this is our natural state, this is our world where we are following our intuition. If it's meant to be for us, if we follow our intuition, it will lead us there. So it's quite sort of psychic, intuitive practice.
Can you let the listeners in a peek of how you use the practice for yourself when you're noticing a pattern show up for you? And what are the tools or what are the things that you use to make sure that you don't go into the rabbit hole, or if all of a sudden you notice that you're in the rabbit hole and come out of that?
I use a practice daily in the morning to step into my greatness, so that I'm anchored into what I've just explained, is that, you know, my spiritual nature that is abundant. So I'm in that space where I am the greatness in my life, so I'm taking responsibility for me. And so that's like a navigating tool. I use choices to keep me also on target for where I'm heading. So I'm in the direction of my intuitive choices, and there's a process for that. And then when I am in that slipstream for the day, I'm set up, like I am in my structure. So I gain momentum doing that daily. So it's an orientation. And then I'm in the observer of the day, and I do notice all my patterns regularly. I'm super dysfunctional. And when I see something occurring, what's occurring? It sounds so funny, Gavin and Stacey, what's occurring? I just see that I'm just about to go bonkers with my boys, but I notice that that's a perfectionist in me. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, here we go. If I let this go, I'm going to end up reacting and being my lioness just over something little, but that's my pattern. And then all my energy is going to go into that instead of being used. All that beautiful energy is not going towards my creations if I get sucked into that. So this is where we have to be an observer, to have space to see. And it takes a little bit of practice to begin with, to create that space and just pause in that moment. And that's when we can choose to step into greatness. And there is methods to do that. It's an intuitive practice, which I do teach as well, to get to go into your innocence, to call on your highest, greatest self. And it's all just a practice, but it's super magical. And it's, for me, it's the only way to live, because what's the opposite of that? It's just head in the wind. I'm going to make this work. And you can imagine that your face is getting so hurt with this strong wind, and you're just, you know, trying to get through your life. And it's not getting any easier. There's more to moan about, and it's the same old complaints, and it's just not magical. And there's nothing no new creation from being in our old identity and putting our head into the wind, pressing against the wind and moaning about it being in our victim.
I want to ask you, do you have a healthy relationship with anger?
I think I do. I think I've got better with it. I think I've become more friendly with all of my emotions. I don't particularly like being angry, but I'm not afraid of it anymore. And I don't shame myself for being angry, because sometimes there's a time and a place for being upset. And it's a call really to look after ourselves more and have better boundaries, I believe. Because if we are, myself, I'm talking about now, if I am not aware of what's going on around me and I just let things happen and then happen again, people are thinking, well, Holly allows this, so this is okay. And then until one day it's not okay. So it's all about being aware of what is okay and what isn't, and speaking up and just having a voice and expressing ourselves. And that's a big step as well, having self-expression. And it's all energetics as well. And it's piercing the bubble on the fear of expressing ourselves and just playing around with it. I think everything's like a play, isn't it?
It is. It is. Can you let the listeners know how Holly takes care of herself?
Well, I'm a mum, and when my children are in school, I have a lot of flexibility in my day. I intuitively choose when I'd like to be working, and I incorporate lots of time for me to either be quiet or time to swim, because I love to swim, and time for fun. And I make sure that I'm seeing my friends when I'm feeling like seeing them. And lots of my friends, we do see each other very impromptu. And I have lots of circles of friends that I can meet up with during the week. It's really nice, actually, to have that. I think that's important, especially as a mom, to have other women, all sorts of age groups, to share with each other. And we have breakfast together, and it's really nice. Yeah, so that's a lot of my self-care. We do lots of devotions. There's lots of prayers together. And I think also it's giving the children variety. So that actually helps me too. So when they are receiving great things through, there's a children's virtues class. I always love that they're going to that, and that kind of nourishes me as well, because I'm thinking, well, they're getting other experiences. So it's not just me, you know, planting seeds in them. So that's self-care for me. And going easy on myself, if I don't feel like doing something, I will just cancel and say, look, I'm not feeling like it, and not do it. And that's that. Some days we have days like that. I'd rather do that than get poorly. Like I'm touch wood, I'm quite a well woman. And I think it's because I have a strong feeling for when something's not in alignment with what I'd like to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to bring you into a reflective question. Mm. I'm going to ask you to bring this awareness right now, and I'm going to ask you to go back to your 18-year-old self. And this awareness can give your 18-year-old self's awareness three words to bring them along the journey. What would those three words be?
Well, the first thing that pops out is love. The second thing is magic. And the third one was peace, having that balance, that peace, because peace is so important, to be reflective, to see what works and what doesn't and what needs some adjustment. Because what I've realized, and it's quite recently, that things that worked when I was 18 really well, even into my 20s, maybe even 30s, they don't really work that well anymore, and I'm still using them. So that's how I create some peace in my life, that things evolve.
But
magic's a huge part. Just always believe in magic, because I've always believed in magic, and I've just like was hungry for more magic all through my life. And I think if you follow that curiosity and wonderment of your life, and believing that the answers will come through somebody somewhere, and everything that you're wanting, all the value to give you your abundant life, is going to come through something where you just were not expecting it. There's miracles everywhere that magic will come through. and the love aspects, the love, just love for life and love for self. And love, I think this is one of the things I would have liked my 18-year-old self to know, is love yourself more and know yourself. And knowing yourself is loving yourself. So, but I think that would have been too cryptic for my 18-year-old, I think. I'd have been like, what the heck does that mean? Okay. I'll save that one for later.
Where can the listeners find you?
Through Facebook. All my clients through my Holly Doyle page on Facebook. You'll see me. I have a white background on there, and you might find me through Alchemy Searches as well. But yeah, Holly Doyle is the best place to find me.
Okay, I'll make sure to put them in the show notes, the link. Is there anything that you would like to leave the listeners?
Well, if anyone is like me growing up, thinking like when we're achieving so much in our lives, and then we get through the achievement and we go, do you know what, is that it? Now what? And it's that emptiness feeling where, is this all life is about? I've got a beautiful house, I've got beautiful children. What's my problem? Why am I seeking more? Then I would say this alchemy course is perfect for these people, that they would benefit a lot from diving into their life intuitively. And I have to explain it a little bit because it won't make sense otherwise. So we go through intuitive processes, and I show them their shadow. So I walk them through it a bit like Scrooge Christmas Eve, and I go, look at this, what's happening, look at this. And they'll be shocked to that everything is available in the ethers. And it's available to us all very magically and easily. And then we go to your greatness and see that. And that just gives you just fuel for all of your creation. It's like your gold, turning the lead to gold. So, yeah, if they're interested, just check out my page and enjoy some videos on there as a first step. And if they wanted to, they can book to coach with me or to have intuitive readings done, which is so much fun. Nothing to be scared of. I used to be so frightened about psychics or people knowing about my dysfunctions, but it's actually cathartic and a relief to see it just as it is. With no extra bits. And I always say, take what resonates and leave the rest. But surprisingly, it's very accurate and so useful for our creations. And I can explain to people how to use their dysfunctions to really just use as a springboard to what they're actually wanting to create. So none of this law of attraction stuff. It's really alchemy processes and structures to give them a leg up, to give them power. Yeah, self-empowerment.
You hear that. So any listeners that is looking for a little bit more introspection and being able to be vulnerable and transparent, to have somebody else give some guidance, perception, Holly is your person to contact.
Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you so much for giving us the most valuable thing you can give, which is your time. So thank you again for all that you do in the world and all that you provide as service and being such a beautiful human being walking on this earth. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure. Sharing wisdom is my favorite thing to do. And likewise, all of those sentiments back to you with service and love and gratefulness. So thank you.
Remember to be kind to yourself.
Always. And you.
I will. Thank you. Wow, you made it all the way here. I appreciate you and your time. If you found anything of value in this conversation, I ask that you please share it out. Help grow the community of Lift Oneself. If you have any suggestions or feedback, send us an email at liftoneself@gmail.com. Until next time, please remember to be kind to yourself.